Log Talk Radio.
Lots of it. Pete Puma in the house. Good evening, and welcome to Erie House Radio. Sorry there.
Where did you go? Dale, come back. Come back.
The fine art of tobacco has its way with me. I almost wish that I were not a smoker. And speaking of wishes, we got one more tonight, a good one. I'm Dale K from Spook Show, here along with
Dave Binkley from Weird and Really Bad Movie and Spaceship One. And we're here with the lovely
and delightful.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Here's wishing everyone a wonderful listening experience. This is CW tossing a coin in the fountain. Cast your wish.
There you go. You mean you're in Italy? You got two
yes,
more coins
I mean,
to
Italy
go. You need three coins in the fountain, don't you? I don't know.
Oh, three coins in the fountain. Yes, the Trevi fountain, the famous
fountain.
Yes, I'm here sunning on the Riviera. I wonder what the poor people are doing right now.
We're broadcasting.
Yeah.
That's what the poor people are doing. And our poor listeners are here. Good old Bob and Fogsbane live in the chat, plus many others we can't see.
Well, put on your glasses then.
I have my glasses on. They're a necessity at this point. Cheaters. We call them cheaters. The reading glasses thing. Oh, what are you going to do? We're old enough to enjoy old-time radio.
In cyberspace, all you netizens, hello?
Yep, we got another episode of CBS Radio Mystery Theater to share with you tonight. Obviously, following our theme of wishes. What about you, Dave? You never told us your wish yesterday.
I gave the one. I wished that I had enough to support a studio for everyone in town that would like to use that. So that was, you know, and I had another one, but I what did I do? Because I think I crumpled it up and threw it away since we weren't going to use it. I'll have to think on that one. But that was my wish. That was my wish.
And I kind of cheesed out.
I wish.
Mine was
What's
vague,
that?
And my wish was kind of vague and multi.
I believe your wish had something to do with the Hee Haw Girls versus the Dallas
Cowboys.
I
was commenting on how, as your life changes, your wishes change. There was a period in my life when I would have wished for that. When I had the body
Kenny
to
Rogers.
Support that sort of activity.
Kenny Rogers did. Kenny Rogers did, right?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, Kenny Rogers married one of those Hee Haw girls, gals.
Yep.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
He was a gambler. Well. He was a gambler. All right, we're not gambling tonight. This is a sure thing with a really good show from CBS Radio Mystery Theater.
You know, I once had, for the old Weirdness Radio, we had a Peloton to help cure Howard Cosell. And cure Howard Cosell to save Monday Night Football. Anyway, what it is, we actually had many celebrities. We had... even had Kenny Rogers, who appeared there to sing a medley of his hits. I Don't Need You, You Gambler, Lucille, Even Though You Believe in Me and I'm the Coward of the County. You know, so he did that medley of his hit.
Ah, cool. Howard Cosell. Are you old enough to remember hearing him live, CW, Howard Cosell?
I know of him. I've gone online and seen his interviews. This is Howard Cosell.
Yes.
I don't know anything about sports, but I'm here to tell you what's going on. Good luck with that. So, you know, you experienced him.
Yeah, I never really enjoyed boxing, but I tell you what, when he described boxing, it was absolutely amazing. And when he stopped doing it, I had absolutely no interest at all in boxing. I didn't really care for it, but he made it even more exciting. I thought he was great at analyzing and calling boxing matches.
Hmm. He had a very distinctive voice. That's why I know about him. Broadcasters, I like looking into people who have these really distinctive ways of speaking. Howard Cosell, also, what's his face? Cronkite? Edward R. Murrow. See it now. Edward R. Murrow. This is Edward R. Murrow. Yeah, so I really like those very distinctive voices. I mean, that's James Earl Jones, Darth Vader.
And with Edward R. Murrow, his famous sign off, good night and good luck.
Good night. Good night and good luck. Good night and good luck with that now.
And speaking of distinctive voices, it was on this day, April 15th, back in 1917, that actor Hans Conried was born.
Hey, distinctive voices.
A plethora of distinctive voices.
And that's the joy of old-time radio. You get to feast on them without being distracted by video images.
Yeah. Like, especially of ours, you know?
Yeah.
At least Dale's in mine. At least Dale's in mine, you know?
I'm falling apart. You don't want to see that.
Yes, radio vision for the ears.
Yes. Brain fodder. And we got a good one for you tonight. Three times dead is the
three
title.
Times dead. Not once, not twice, but three.
Once, twice, thrice.
Yeah,
and that's going to work into our theme of wishes. We might as well get started. Do we have an original broadcast date for this episode?
That we do. That would be June 17th of 1970. And four.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... Come in. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. Won't you join me once again for an adventure in mystery and suspense, where space is as boundless and as unlimited as your imagination, and time is measured by the beat of your heart? Most of us know who we are, but how many of us know why we are? Rich man, poor man, beggar man, thief. Is each man's lot ordained from the beginning and fated to be or not to be? Or is it all a random throw of the dice, a casual flip of a coin? Do we tamper with fate at our peril?
Who is it?
Police.
How do I know?
We got a chain lock, lady. Just open the door a couple inches. You can see my badge.
Oh, my goodness. What a relief. Please, come in. I saw this man. He was prowling around in the dark, outside in the back. I was so frightened.
Can you describe him?
Well, he was tall.
How tall?
Tall, about like you are.
What else?
And he had broad shoulders, like you have. Why are you looking at me like that? Please, don't look at me like... No! No, don't come any closer. Why would you want to hurt me? No! No! Please!
mystery drama, Three Times Dead, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Sam Dan and stars William Redfield. It is sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division and Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, brewers of Budweiser. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
And now another story of the ball and chain as Kellogg Special K presents Veronica and Jeff.
Oh, Jeffrey, isn't this romantic? Out in a quiet lake at night with you rowing the boat.
Yes, Veronica, it's really neat.
Jeffrey, what was that?
Frogs.
Frogs that go bonk?
They're pretty weird frogs.
Oh, Jeffrey, you're such a card. You have a ball and chain, like the ones they use in those Special K commercials.
Yes, Veronica, it symbolizes my few pounds of extra weight. But I'm going to get rid of it.
How?
By exercising. You know, like rowing this boat and eating smart at every meal, starting with a Special K breakfast.
You mean a 1 ounce bowl of high-protein Special K, 4 ounces of skim milk, orange juice, and coffee?
Precisely. It's less than 240 calories, and it tastes delicious. It'll help me get rid of this ball and chain.
I'll help, too, Jeff. After all, we're all in the same boat.
You have a ball and chain, too.
Your happy ending could begin with a Special K breakfast from Kellogg's.
Consider Napoleon. Historians agree that his doom at Waterloo had been ordained some 3 years before in his costly victory at Borodino, a tiny village on the road to Moscow. They say that at Borodino, he lost the flower of his army. And why did he lose so many of his best soldiers? Because he was unable to think clearly. The reason? He was suffering from a severe cold. Why? Well, we know that his orderly had gotten drunk the day before and thus neglected to have a pair of dry boots ready for the great general. And so, in a very real sense, this unnamed, unknown, obscure military servant changed the course of history. Those are the facts. We may ask, why was the orderly drunk? Did it just happen? Or was it all part of a plan? Is every single action on the part of every living thing prescribed, ordained, decreed? We don't know. We're just asking, as will some of the people you're about to meet.
All Area 4 units proceed to 160 South Bend. Reported holdup in progress. Repeat. Repeat. All cars to 160 South Bend. It's an antique shop. Suspected holdup in progress.
But I tell you, I have nothing.
Easy. If you hit him any harder, you'll kill him. Listen, Grandpa. Be smart, huh?
Take my money. He's in the drawer. Take my money.
We don't want your money, Grandpa. All we want is that little statue. Now, you got it here somewhere. Get it.
Please don't.
I do. You hand it over, Grandpa. You hand it over.
Hold it right there. Drop those guns.
Sure, officer. Sure thing.
You okay, sir?
I think so. These two men...
I know. Take it easy.
Greenway, what happened?
I guess they're dead.
Hey, Red, get on the radio and get us an ambulance, huh?
Sergeant, they both had guns. One was pistol-whipping this old man.
Sir, we'd better get you to a doctor.
I'm sorry to have caused you so much trouble.
They started to shoot as soon as they saw me. I guess I was luckier than both of them.
Yeah, you did a good job. Hey, Greenway, what is it?
I've been a cop for 8 years. You know, it's the first time I ever had to draw the gun out of the holster.
Can you drive?
Drive? Oh, sure.
Yeah, I don't think so. I'll get Smitty to take your car. You come back with me. Write up your report.
Now?
Sure. Right now. While it's fresh.
Don?
Yeah, it's me.
I heard about it. It was on the radio.
Yeah, it's going to be on the TV news, too. Before we could even get out of the place, everybody was there. Microphones, cameras. Two men are dead, and...
And what?
Well, nobody seems to realize that...
But, Don, everybody knows they're dead.
Look, Honey, I can't explain it. These two men, they're dead. Their lives are finished, see? I ended the world for them. They don't exist anymore. That's what being dead is.
Don, you had no choice.
I know.
It's part of your job.
I know. I guess I never looked at that part of the job. I always had the idea I was a cop because I wanted to help people.
You helped that poor old man today. You saved his life.
I understand, honey. I know all the arguments.
Then what is it?
I just never thought I'd have to go for the gun.
Don.
I feel as if something, some part of me is gone.
What?
I don't know. When I saw those two men dead on the floor, I felt that some part of me simply disappeared. Something in my mind.
Something like what?
I don't know, but it's something that I felt was very special and important to me, and now it's just, it's gone. It's disappeared.
What you did was absolutely necessary.
I agree, but it doesn't change the basic fact, which is I killed. Listen, how about dinner?
I didn't know how you'd feel, so it's wide open.
Okay. Let's go out.
Sure.
Dress up. I'll take you to Ferretti's.
Oh, we're going to make this an occasion.
Well, it is an occasion, I guess. Maybe it marks my coming of age. Yes, Sergeant.
Your wife wants you to call her on your coffee break.
Something wrong, Sarge?
Why don't you take your break right now?
He said he wants to entertain both of us this evening at his home.
Are you sure?
He said his name was Mr. Sanchez, the one whose life you saved.
Oh, I thought it was something important.
It is important. Well, that is, he made it seem like a matter of life and death. Look, I already promised him we'd be there.
May I pour you some more wine?
It's delicious.
My dear friend, I am so sorry I could not thank you earlier.
Look, it's not necessary to thank me. I did my job, nothing more.
Unfortunately, I have been in the hospital for the past week, so I have been unable to show my appreciation. And tomorrow my business takes me abroad for an indefinite period, and so it must be tonight or never.
Well, what do you mean?
Consider this tiny statue.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Hardly 6 inches tall, and it's pure gold.
It's exquisitely made.
See? The figure of a woman, entwined around her, a serpent. Now, why do I show you this? Because this is the object those two thugs were after.
Oh. But why? I mean, what did they know about it?
Probably nothing. Perhaps someone had paid them to get it.
Who?
It could be anyone. That is, anyone who might be aware of the legend that surrounds this statue.
A legend of Don.
It is said that whoever owns this statue will be granted 3 wishes.
Well, oh, no.
Oh, don't mind him, Mr. Sanchez. He's always skeptical about everything.
Now, do you know what year this is, Mr. Sanchez? All that went out with the Arabian Nights.
Don, can't we have a little romance?
You say that the statue will grant you 3 wishes. So why didn't you use it to save yourself when those hoods were beating you up?
I did.
What do you mean you did?
I wished to be saved. And you arrived.
Mr. Sanchez, I arrived because I got a call on the police radio.
But you arrived. And it was their 2 guns against your 1. And they fired first. Yet you killed them both.
How? What are you getting at, Mr. Sanchez?
Everything or nothing. Now, I wish to make you a gift.
Oh, no. No, I couldn't.
Of this statue.
Don!
No, please, that's out of the question. Besides, why would you want to give it away since you seem to be convinced that it works?
Because when I asked to be saved, that was my third wish.
Mr. Sanchez, I appreciate what you want to do, but it's illegal for me to accept payment for performance in the line of duty.
This is not payment. It is a token, a gift. Look, I am leaving the country for an indefinite period. I am an old man. I cannot make any long-range plans. I may never see you again.
There is no way to slice this to make it come out differently, Mr. Sanchez.
Are you saying that there is no way I can show you my appreciation?
No way beyond a thank you, and I've already received that. Ella, look, it's getting late.
But, Don, Mr. Sanchez is very sincere.
I know he is. It's still getting late.
Before you go, consider. In the ordinary way, I should be dead. That was the obvious way. Fate was working. However, by means of this statue, I changed it. In doing so, I also changed your life. You're a different man because of me.
I'm the same man I always was.
You don't realize it yet. So, take this statue.
Look, I'm very sorry, sir, but I...
You may need it. You may even now be headed for a fate that you may wish to change.
Mr. Sanchez, thank you for an excellent dinner and a very pleasant evening. Ella, tomorrow's an early day for me.
Then there is nothing I can say to you?
I'm afraid not. Wow, honey, this is a spread.
I thought you'd be hungry tonight.
Look at that steak. And you... Oh, you even baked a pie.
Yes, I did.
Look, I'm going to have to start losing weight soon.
Don, I have to tell you something.
Sure, what?
Well, at first I thought maybe I could keep it a secret, but...
Hey, what is it?
Look up there. On the shelf.
On the... The statue.
Before you say another word, it's mine.
Yours?
Listen, Don... He stopped off here this afternoon on the way to the airport. He asked me to accept the statue.
Couldn't you tell him that I can't?
I told him. I even told him I couldn't accept it as a gift either.
Well, so how does it happen that it's sitting...
Well, he said, let me sell it to you.
Sell it?
Let me sell it to you, he said, for $50.
$50? It's worth at least $1,000.
Don, he convinced me we might need this statue one day.
Honey, for what?
Who knows? Anyhow, it's my statue. I have the bill of sale made out to me. Here it is. Now, what would you like me to wish for?
Nothing.
Nothing?
Nothing. And Ella, I want your word of honor that you will never, never use that statue to wish for anything.
But, Don...
I want your promise.
But you can't be serious.
Look, I'll tell you how serious I am. If you ever make a wish on that statue, I will... break up our marriage. Now, can I have your promise?
Why is Don so upset? Is it such a bad thing to have a wish come true? Well, it is, according to both Aesop and James Russell Lowell, because both of them said, granting our wish is one of fate's saddest jokes. Even so, and with all due respect to those two great men, wouldn't most people jump at the chance to get a wish gratified? The proposition will be tested when I return in a few moments with Act Two.
Maybe that's why I'm a little vague on my wishes. I'm kind of like, doesn't that come with some baggage, making wishes?
Because what you wish for, you just might get it.
Exactly.
It comes with at least mustard, if nothing else.
No sauerkraut? Oh, I've got to have sauerkraut on the side. Come on.
Sweet relish.
There you go.
Wishes are a double-edged sword.
They are. And I don't know, maybe I'm old. Maybe I'm old-fashioned, but isn't it something more rewarding when you work hard for it than when something is just given to you or falls into your lap?
Short answer, no. But I'm a 21st century kind of person.
Okay.
And that's your advice from the advice corner from the 21st century person of the moment. Thanks, everyone. I'll be here all week.
You know what? That never thought about, but you'd have more time to enjoy your good wish that way, you know?
That's true.
True. And as to the great sages that Mr. E.G. Marshall mentioned, he mentioned Aesop. Forgot the name of the other one. That wishes are fake, saddest jokes.
Yep.
Well, at least you can still laugh, even
true.
If it's a bad joke.
Yeah, that's also
true.
I mean, winning the lotto. If you win $1 billion, it's true. Everybody's going to come out of the woodwork and have their hand out.
Yep.
But if you have $1 million, you can hire someone to tell them, put that hand back where it was, step away, and get lost.
I'd go straight to Elk and Moose, you know, and let them cover for me.
There you go.
There you are, Elk and Moose. Well, you absolutely positively have to find a way to get rid of all that cash. Elk and Moose is there to take it off your hands.
All hail Elk and Moose.
Elk and Moose, get Moose.
Elk and Moose. Google gobble, Google gobble.
Wow.
Yeah, boy, it's a laugh a minute here at Erie House. Fun and radio.
But I'm liking this. Yes, I'm liking this because that the character, the police officer, is not aggrandizing, you know, shoot him up. He has a conscience. He knows he used his firearm in the line of duty, and
but still bugs
he
him.
Has a conscience. Yeah, I like that. He's coming to terms with it, not just
good.
Shoot him up, cowboy.
Yep, good character development and a good character to like. Let's see what happens to him as we get to part two, Three Times Dead.
Now back to CBS Mystery Theater.
It's a tiny statue, perhaps 6 inches high, made of the purest gold and the finest workmanship. It's the figure of a beautiful woman with a serpent coiled about her waist. It is said to have the power to grant its owner 3 wishes. And would you believe that it's the source of a violent argument between Don and Ella Greenway in this day and age of electronics and jets?
Don, wouldn't it be something, though?
Wouldn't what be something?
If it were all really true. If we could get 3 wishes out of it.
Now, Ella, I meant what I said before. No wishing on that statue.
Don, do you mean you believe the old man? Well, do you?
What's the difference?
But, Don, how could...
Ella, remember what he said last night about how I happened to be there?
Yes, but...
When I pulled up in the squad car and jumped out, I couldn't see inside that shop. Do you know what I mean?
No.
There's a window display. It blocks your view. The door was closed, and it's a heavy wooden door.
What are you trying to tell me?
Listen. The call came in, you see? It was relayed to Sergeant Carter. The assumption was some passerby had seen the holdup.
Well, that has to be what happened.
Whoa. How? How could anyone on the street have seen anything inside the shop?
Maybe someone passing by heard the old man scream.
No. See, I was there at the height of it. I didn't hear a thing. I didn't see a thing. Until I threw that door open.
Well, but what?
I got there first because mine was the nearest car to the scene. Each of them got off a shot at me before I could even fire.
Don. Please, I don't even like to think about it.
Ella, I didn't even want to shoot. Would you believe it? I had to force myself to pull the trigger. Still, when the smoke clears, there they are. They're dead. I'm alive. Could there have been... Oh, fate, or whatever you call it, involved there?
On the other hand, it could just be the way things happen sometimes.
That's right. So, let's let things determine themselves, right? For better or for worse.
How would it be if I wished you made sergeant?
I'm going to make sergeant anyhow.
Hmm, that's true. How about money?
No, Ella, I want you to listen. Forget that statue.
I won't wish for $1 million. Look,
Ella, I'm telling you.
All this is extremely practical and justified. Look, we owe $12,000 on the mortgage.
Ella.
$1,500 on the car.
I don't want to go into all this again.
That's $13,500. We owe $400 for the new roof. And you'll have to have that dental work done. That's another $600. And we've been promising ourselves an air conditioner for the bedroom.
Honey.
And our washing machine is 10 years old. Comes to, say, $15,000.
I don't want to hear any more, Ella.
Don, it's my statue.
Please, Ella, I...
What is it, Don?
All right. All right, I'll admit it. I'm scared.
Of what?
I don't know. Ever since that shootout, I've had all kinds of crazy ideas.
Crazy ideas?
Well, not crazy so much as mixed up. And I don't even know if they're ideas. They're more like feelings.
Can you...
No, I can't describe them. Honey, just please, listen, don't do anything right now to upset me, okay?
You need a vacation.
I'm all right. Let's just let everything sit for a while. Gee, what time did it get to be? I have to sign in at 5. Goodbye, honey.
Bye, darling.
Ella, just humor me, will you? I mean, promise.
I promise. I promised. And I probably would have kept that promise. But I was loading the dishwasher. I turned the knob, and nothing happened. I kept clicking the knob, and nothing happened. I was so angry, so frustrated, I finally kicked it. And nothing happened. All we wanted was to live nicely, comfortably. It would take $15,000 to put us ahead of the game. Would that upset fate? I looked at the statue. I remembered the words that Mr. Sanchez had spoken when he left here.
You look at the statue. You say to the statue, I wish for
$15,000.
"39 Phillips, go to 45 Stuyvesant. Lady complaining about a streaker. 86 Heatherton, some drunk is annoying people. Cancel. Area 4, stand by. Checked in 86, 39, 14, 21.
21, I'm at Collins and Walker.
It's a holdup. Merchants Federal, North Main. Perpetrators escaping in blue station wagon, headed toward Interstate Highway. At 21.
21.
Head south to Washington and cut them off. All cars toward Washington and Interstate Highway. 21.
21.
You turn east on Washington. Blue wagon headed toward Collins intersection.
21, if alleyways open past Jefferson, I can shortcut through there. I'm in the alley, coming out on Washington. 21, they just went by me. 21, they turned left into Turnbull. I'm following.
All units west on Turnbull. West on Turnbull.
21, he's trying to swing around. He's crazy.
Mrs. Greenway.
Sergeant Carter. Where is he?
They just brought him down from the operating room.
Just tell me. Don't try to break it slowly.
I have to know.
As of right now, he's still alive.
Oh, thank God.
We had him trapped. They tried to turn around and get by him. It was a head-on crash.
I want to see him.
Sure, sure. Come inside with me.
Come in. I'm Dr. Morris.
Doctor.
He's still unconscious.
What will he...
We're doing everything we can. He's surrounded with intensive care.
But will he...
Mrs. Greenway, there are different methods of handling a thing like this. I could build up your hopes over...
Or you can tell me the truth.
I can tell you what appears to be the truth to us at this time.
He's not going to make it.
The outlook is not good.
Why is the outlook not good?
There's been an unbelievable shock to his system.
Yes.
There's been some, not very much, but a little brain damage. Nurse, maintain the indicated levels of fluids and oxygen and report even the slightest changes immediately.
May I stay here for a while? I promise not to get in anybody's way.
Of course. Excuse me.
Mrs. Greenway, if there's anything any of us can do...
Thank you, Sergeant.
It's guys like him. What's the use? It's usually guys like him who get it. You know, it's funny. He might have had a premonition about it.
What are you saying, Sergeant?
I don't know. I'm just thinking aloud.
No. No, tell me. Tell me what you mean by a premonition.
Well, it's just how things work out, you know? A couple of months ago, we got this new Benevolent League special insurance, and Don never paid any attention to it. But this morning, before going on duty, he said to me, "Hey, Sarge, hand me a form. I'll sign up."
He signed up for special insurance this morning?
Yeah.
How much insurance?
How much? Well, let's see if I can remember. Oh, sure. It was the same as mine. $15,000.
This morning, Ella Greenway stood before a tiny gold statue and wished for $15,000. Taken by itself, we could call it an act of superstition. Now, 14 hours later, her husband is dying, and we find he has just insured his life for, you guessed it, $15,000. Rarely is superstition so scientifically supported by mathematics. We'll have another set of numbers when I return shortly with Act 3.
And you're listening to the number one, at least in our minds, old-time radio program. Eerie House Radio.
Wow. I wonder what kind of numbers he's bringing to us. You know, the count brings us numbers. I wonder what numbers he's going to bring us.
Wonderful.
So, if any of you guys out there have a wife who suddenly comes in possession of a certain kind of statue, you better take a look at those life insurance policies again.
Yikes.
I have a buddy who never got insurance in his life. He says, "I don't want to be worth more dead than I am alive."
it is a bad investment. It's the one investment.
Yeah, you don't win. Maybe those who outlive. Yeah, you don't win. Now, maybe those outlive you win, but you don't win.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, look at George Bailey. Poor George Bailey had to try and sell his life insurance policy, and that guy says, Potter says, "You're worth more dead than alive, Bailey."
Yeah.
He did say that, yep. Lionel Barrymore.
A scary thought, yeah.
Yeah,
he turned around. Paranoid, he turned around. That's horrible. Then he turned around and played Scrooge on the radio. What an nasty guy.
I know. Mr. Potter, many, many years. Wonderful life.
Yep.
Ebenezer Scrooge? Wow. Yeah.
He was even a crusty doctor on...
Dr.
Kildare.
Dr. Kildare, but on radio, wasn't he? What was he on
the
radio?
Boss. He was like the head doctor.
Okay. Okay.
I think.
Is Dr. Kildare on the radio before he went on TV?
It was, yes. Yes.
Yep.
Oh, wow. I did not know that. Woo!
Everything was on radio first. Back then.
Back then, we had Commander Ray at West Park Chevrolet.
There you go.
I don't know why, but we did. And I understand. We had crazy, where we're from, CW, we had crazy local personalities that sold various things from furniture to auto. Auto lots.
The guy named Charlie Miller who would throw everybody on TV a kiss.
He was like 1,000 years old, too.
Yeah, he was a 1,000-year-old bald guy, and he was throwing everybody a kiss. He always missed me, luckily. I ducked.
The ghoul had him as a guest once. He had him pop out of a casket and throw everybody a kiss. It's funny.
I missed that one.
Well, that
That's
was
great.
In the early 70s, I think.
That's great.
That sounds like the wellspring of ideas at Second City TV when they had that spoof on their salespeople.
Oh. Yep.
They had these weird salespeople. The guy who played Count Floyd. I forgot the name of the salesperson but...
Now that you mentioned that, CW, I do remember what my second wish was. My second wish is that local TV stations would go back to more local programming. I don't mean people standing around giving news teasers for 3 hours. I mean actual programs. We had so many local programs back here. Even when I came to Northeast Ohio in the early 1970s, you still had Polka Variety and you had... the Gene Carroll show, and you still had so many of these local shows that were there. The Morning Exchange originated from Cleveland, which is what Good Morning America became, including the fact they tried to hire away Fred Griffith, and instead, since Fred wouldn't go, they hired David Hartman because they thought he looked a lot like Fred Griffith. So, you know, there was so much local television that instead of running all these expensive sitcom reruns that they show, take a few of those dollars and put a few local programs on. We recently had, what was that one with the movie vault thing that they were in the basement of Channel 19 or something, you know, but that only lasted... one season, maybe two. And they yanked it. You know, that didn't cost them that much. They had local people doing the thing, writing and production and all that. I don't know.
What you need is a Polka Variety show.
That's right.
Those were local programming on Sunday mornings.
And somebody to teach everybody how to play poker, right?
And dance polkas, absolutely. And how about, I would like to be a wise guy cartoon host for young kids. Like, don't be a moron, kid. You know you're not supposed to poke people's eyes out, all right? You don't hit them with a shovel. It's a cartoon, you get it? Don't be a moron.
It's not real. It's a cartoon.
Don't
it's not
jump
real.
Off
it's
the roof. You can't fly like Superman.
Yep. Oh, believe me, I almost bit off my tongue as a child trying to be Superman, jumping off a slide with a bath towel around my neck. Lucky I didn't hang myself on top of it.
Oh, my God.
Yeah?
Funny. I was probably about 4 or 5 years old.
The best chance you have of getting your parents to give you some martial arts lessons, but you still won't be Bruce Lee.
That's right.
So that was my second wish. So first was a studio for for amateur production people like myself to be able to have an Akron and use. And the next one was having an outlet for those people, like going back to local programming.
Yep. Hey, Fuzzbane responded to our polka with the word dingus. Does anybody know about Dingus Day?
That was that was
like the Polish Sadie Hawkins Day.
that was Tuesday, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I think it was
National Tuesday
Dingus Day.
This week.
National Dingus Day.
Has anyone ever heard of something called Pulaski Days?
Pulaski? Like Roman Pulaski?
not that guy. No,
that's what I thought of.
Polish general of some renown.
He was the guy that was defending Warsaw. The Nazis marched in backwards and said they were leaving. Took over the whole country in about 5 minutes. It was embarrassing. It was embarrassing. I think that's who that was. I'm not sure.
It's just another reason to put some kielbasa on the barbecue, I guess. Another holiday to go out and celebrate.
Absolutely. More reasons to eat and feast and overeat. We got a story to finish, however. And it's been exciting. I mean, we've had a police chase. We've had all kinds of activity in this story. Pretty exciting. Great sound effects. Well done. Well produced. Let's wrap up. Three times.
Dead. WBBM Chicago News Radio 78.
If you could have three wishes, would you take them? Ella Greenway was warned. Stay with what fate has planned. Accept destiny. Don't improvise. But all she wished for was a modest sum of money to keep up with the cost of living. However, it turns out the price she must pay for the money is her husband's life. One wish down. Two to go.
I don't want the money. I don't want the...
Mrs. Greenway. Mrs. Greenway.
What? Oh, where am I?
Are you all right? Are you all right now?
Oh, I had a dream. I dreamed I was called to the hospital because Don had been killed. And it isn't a dream. Don is dying, and I'm here in the hospital. Doctor.
You fainted, and I can understand why. It's been a terrible shock. Dr. Morris? Oh? Very well, I'll be right up there.
Doctor, that was about Don, wasn't it?
Yes.
I can tell by the tone in your voice. It's not good.
I never told you it was good, Mrs. Greenway.
But now it's worse. He's getting worse. He's sinking quickly. It could be a matter of minutes.
Well, I...
Please tell me.
Yes. He could die at any time.
Sergeant Carter, take me home.
But don't you want to...
Take me home. Take me home as quickly as you can. Take me home! I wish for Don to live. I wish for Don to live.
Mrs. Greenway? Oh, Mrs. Greenway.
Yes.
I just had to make sure you were okay.
I'm all right.
You had me worried the way you were.
Yeah, I'm fine.
And about Don, well, maybe the doctors don't know everything, you know? Maybe there will be something to...
Don will be all right.
Just remember, if there's anything at all that you... Well, Mrs. Greenway, aren't you going to answer it?
Answer?
The phone. Okay, don't bother. I will. Hello.
Is that you, Sergeant?
Yeah.
Could you bring Mrs. Greenway back here right away?
We never saw or even heard of such a remarkable turnabout. You could almost say it's a miracle.
Why not say it? There's one thing for sure. Mrs. Greenway never gave up hope, never lost faith.
Look at that man. He's got his color back. Respiration, pressure, heartbeat, everything. Everything is perfectly normal. I still can't believe it.
Don. Don.
Ella. Ella, is it you?
It's Ella.
Where are you?
I'm here, Don. You're going to be all right. You're going to be all right.
Hi, honey.
Don! Tell me, how was it?
Well, I'd been away for a while, you know. I was kind of nervous that first day back.
But how did it go?
It just went.
I was worried about your going back so soon.
Oh, it's been more than a month, honey. Besides, the doc wouldn't have held still for it unless I checked out 100%.
Don, did you tell the doctors about the...
The headaches? Well,
Did you?
Honey, everybody gets headaches, and these just come and go.
But yours can get very severe.
If they don't stop, I'll talk about it next time I see it. Listen, what would you like to do tonight? How about a movie?
Sure. Don, what's that on your blouse?
Where?
All over your sleeve. Was it blood?
Blood? What? How would blood get on my sleeve?
Well, it looks like blood.
I can't imagine. Maybe it's paint or some kind of stain or something. You know, I might have brushed up against something.
I better send it to the cleaners first thing. How could it have...
If you haven't started on dinner yet, let's eat out, huh?
All right.
Hey, you know what you forgot to do when I walked in just before?
What?
You forgot to give your old man a kiss.
Oh, Don.
Yeah, that's better. Well, you've got to shape up around here. Can't let you get into bad habits.
Don, do you still have a headache?
Headache? No, it's gone, completely gone. Maybe it'll never come back.
All right, we got some new little goodies for you boys in blue out there. Be alert for stolen Gold Arrow convertible. License plate 1232N, as in nobody. Brand new Toro sedan. Shell pink, yes, indeedy. Plate number 5498.
21 calling in. 21 calling in.
Yes, 21.
Sarge, I think I should come in.
Something wrong, Don?
Oh, I think I'm starting to get a headache.
Where are you?
3100 block on North Sheridan.
Well, this is on your way. Just check it out. A woman, apartment 3A, 560 Cheyenne. That's two blocks west of you.
Two blocks.
Woman reports prowler in the vicinity. She must be a nut. She calls on an average of three times a week. But take down her story. It makes her feel better. Then come in.
Okay.
Time getting here, I could have been murdered.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, not just tell me.
You ride around in your cars and you think you do a day's work.
Please, madam, just tell me.
I pay my rent. I pay my taxes.
Just tell me what...
Oh, my head. Will you just tell me what you saw?
Don't you yell at me. You're a public servant. My servant. Why are you looking at me like that?
Another one of Wait a minute, wait a minute. What am I supposed to be doing? Yeah, I go to apartment 3A. 560 Cheyenne, woman saw a prowler. I'm here. What the... Lady. Lady, are you... Calling in.
You heading in, John?
No, you better be headed out. The prowler was there, all right. She's dead.
What is it, Doc?
Won't know till the autopsy. He hit her a few heavy blows, and that was enough to kill her.
She was lying there. I could see she was dead or close to it, so then I called in.
Then what did you do?
I had a look around the back.
Anything?
Nothing.
From what I can see here, she tried to put up a little bit of a fight anyhow. See?
Yeah.
Slight trace of blood under this fingernail. She might have scratched him.
Well, Dan, write it up.
Okay.
Then you can go home.
Home?
Yeah. Didn't you ask to come in because you had a headache?
Oh, yeah, but I don't have one now. I feel great. Oh, sweetie, I'm sorry I was so late for dinner.
I heard about the murder on the news.
Yeah, I know. Oh, she wasn't a pretty sight to see.
Why? Why was she killed?
We don't know.
Well, did you get a chance to see anything?
No, I got the call to go to the address because she'd complained about a prowler. The next thing I knew, I was in the apartment. She was dead on the floor.
Don, what do you mean? The next thing you knew?
Well, the next... Well, because that's the next thing that happened. You know, that's how you write your report. You go from one fact to the next. Listen, honey, let's not talk about it, please. I never wanted to be a guy who brings his job home.
Don, what did you do to your face?
Huh? Where?
Well, it looks like a scratch. Just below your right ear.
I don't know.
Well, how did you...
You sure there's a scratch there?
Well, it looks like one.
Well, I might have gotten it from shaving this morning.
But you don't shave there.
All right, look, it doesn't bother me.
But how did
And if
you...
we worry about every tiny little scratcher... Honey, what are you looking so serious for? I can't even feel it. All right, if it makes you feel better, I'll put some antiseptic on it. Ella? Ella, what's wrong?
Oh, nothing. I'm just tired. I feel so... worn out. Take me to the 500 block on Cheyenne. Five, five, four, five, five, six, five, five, eight, 560. Outside entrance. Inside door, and it's locked. Locked.
Why, hello, Ella.
Sergeant Carter.
Oh, what are you doing in this neighborhood?
Oh, just shopping. There's some very fine shops.
Ella.
Yes, Sergeant?
Tell me, since Don's been home from the hospital, has he... Well, have you noticed anything unusual about him?
Unusual? Mm. In what way?
Oh, I don't know. He has complained of headaches.
Headaches?
You know, he may have come back to duty just a little bit too soon. Although I must say it hasn't interfered with his performance of duty. He's a great cop. Well, see you around.
Ella, hey, where have you been? I've been home for about 2 hours.
Oh, I was out.
It's okay, it's okay. I made supper, chili. What do you think? Pull up a chair and enjoy a treat. Huh?
Don... How do you feel?
Right now? I feel fantastic. I've never been in better shape in all my life.
I look at you and... I don't know how to begin.
Begin what?
Don, the cleaner said you had blood on your sleeve. That was the other day. And the other day, there was a knifing. Some old tramp had been...
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. What are you saying?
And yesterday, you went to the scene of another killing. You had a scratch, as if someone...
Ella, is this your idea of a joke?
Hear it all first. You went to this lady's apartment. Now, if she was already dead when you got there, how did you get in there? The door to the hallway is locked. You have to ring the bell. Donald, how did you get in there?
How did I get in there? What? How do you think I got in there? I rang the bell.
No.
Listen.
No.
What are you making it so complicated for? I rang the bell. She sounded the buzzer. She let me in.
She let you in.
Well, who else would have let me in? She lives all alone, doesn't she?
But Don. Oh, Don.
Look, I got this headache again.
Don, listen to me.
I have to lie down.
Something's terribly wrong.
Well, when I get this headache, I can go crazy.
It really wasn't murder. You didn't know.
I knew. When I feel this way, I can kill.
Carter. Sergeant Carter. He was there again today for the same reason I was. He suspects.
Will you shut up?
You need help. Don, oh, darling, don't. Don't look at me that way. Don, don't look at me that way. No, it isn't even... You must... That look. Keep away. Don, it's me! Don't! I wish...
Ella? Ella. Oh, Ella, everything hurts so much. I just want to sleep. Never wake up. I just want to sleep.
Don. Oh, Don.
Three times dead. And you can have the story any way you like. The supernatural powers of the little golden statue, or the sudden rallies and collapses that still defy the best thinking of medical science. Random accident or predestined fate. We always have something for everybody. As usual, I'll have something for you when I return shortly. I wish I could tell you what happened to the little statue, but I can't. Ella Greenway's house was robbed a few years ago, and the little statue was part of the loot. It may have been stolen by someone who knew its powers. On the other hand, it may be kicking around some antique or gift shop. Remember, if you see it, it's a beautiful lady with a snake twined about her waist. And if you should see it, would you buy it? Our cast included William Redfield, Suzanne Grossman, Sam Gray, and Dan Ockel. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown.
I'd buy it.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by the Kellogg Company, makers of Kellogg's Special K cereal, new sugar-free diet 7-Up, and Sign-Off, the sinus medicines. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre.
Macabre.
Until next time, pleasant dreams.
I love the
that. Lots of time left for some bonus fun.
Lots of bonus fun time. Yay!
Is there a vault? Is there a vault of Gar after our show tonight? Have you seen a post or anything?
I haven't looked to see a post. But, I mean, I've looked, but I didn't go to his site. So perhaps we can while we're doing some of the fun stuff here.
Yeah, we got a little bonus music.
I do have a little moral that we could share, though.
Oh, we have a moral,
oh,
do
please
we?
Do.
We do.
Well, I guess if there's a moral, then there's only one thing to do. Erie House Radio proudly presents a Garless Moral of the Story.
It's apologies to Gar. The worst thing about dying three times is having to pay for three coffins. That's it.
Yes, it was all about dreams.
Yep, that was it.
What? We're not done wishing. We're not done wishing.
We're not done wishing. Boy, lots of wishing left.
First thing we
wish
got,
I
is
wish
that right?
Wish.
This is from Ripley's Believe It or Not?
Yes. From the one-minute radio series from the 60s, yes.
Yep. Let's play this for the folk as the first of our
oh,
many
please
bonuses.
Do.
First
yep,
of many
yep.
bonuses. Whoops.
Yep, yep.
Truth is stranger than fiction. And this is the proof. This is Ripley's Believe It or Not. William Billinge was born in a cornfield in Longner, England, lived a very full life, and died 112 years later in the same cornfield. Believe it or not. In a moment, I'll tell you the touching story of an American patriot with a strange deathbed wish. Robert E. Craddock was a patriot to the core and proved it up to his dying day. Craddock, a Revolutionary War veteran of Warren County, Kentucky, was about to die in 1837 when he made the following preparations. He got out of his deathbed, donned his Revolutionary War uniform, asked for a piper and a drummer to march around his house playing military airs so that the last sounds on earth Craddock would hear were his beloved regimental marches. Believe it or not.
I believe
that
it.
Was weird. That was weird, yeah.
I
weird.
Believe it.
I do. I do, too. Yes.
That would be nice.
That was unusual.
That was. But then, that's why it's a Ripley's. Believe it or else. I mean, believe it or not.
Yes. You have your choice to believe it or.
Or not. I want another choice in there.
You do? Okay. We got some bonus tunes for you as well.
We got bonus wish tunes, yes.
I should put at least a coin into the jukebox here.
Well, you could, but maybe you might wish not to. Too late.
My treat.
I wish I were Aladdin, how lucky I would be. I'd rub my little lamp and wish that you could fall in love with me. I wish that I were Winkle, who slept for 20 years. Imagine 20 years to dream of you, would that be heavenly? If I could cast a magic spell when I feel blue, I'd wave my wand and call for wonderful you. But if I were certain we'd never ever part, I wouldn't want to be Aladdin. I wouldn't want to be old Rip Van Winkle. Just want to be the only one in your heart. a magic spell. When I feel blue, I'd wave my wand and call for wonderful you. But if I were certain we'd never ever part, I wouldn't want to be Aladdin. I wouldn't want to be old Rip and Winkle. Just want to be the only one in your heart.
That was Singing Sam.
I wish you were the shadow that I walk with in the park when I'm alone and have no place to go. I wish you were the stranger whose hand I cannot hold, who sits beside me at the picture show. I wish you were the girlie in the story magazine who's always wanting company. I wish that you were all the things I want in the world, not the wish that won't come true for me. I wish you were the shadow that I walk with in the park when I'm alone and have no place to go. I wish you were the stranger whose hand I cannot hold, who sits beside me at the picture show. I wish you were the girlie in the story magazine who's always wanting company. I wish that you were all the things I want in the world, not the wish that won't come true.
He was Aladdin. You get cool. More wishes, I guess. That's one way to cheese out some more wishes.
That would be great. What if would happen if you had the magic genie lamp and also captured a leprechaun? Leprechauns are supposed to give you wishes if you capture them, but also if you get a genie.
Well, two positives equal a negative, so that would mean you'd have nothing but bad luck.
Unless you had a rabbit's foot in your pocket at the time.
Then you'd have three, so you'd still be okay.
And a four-leaf clover.
But
oh, okay.
What if it's a Lucky's rabbit foot? It's got to be Lucky's rabbit, not a real rabbit's foot.
Well, it's not lucky for the rabbit.
Not a live rabbit's foot. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's not lucky for the rabbit
or
at all.
If you had a four-leaf clover, now that would be lucky, but would you zero out your luck if you had a horseshoe? Because that's supposed to be lucky, too.
That always has to be Lucky Charms.
Better magic, isn't it?
Yes. Horseshoes aren't lucky. I got hit on the head with one once when playing a game of horseshoes. That is not a lucky thing.
Oh, I hope
not
you're
a lucky hit.
That would have to hurt.
But that does explain a lot of my life. It doesn't explain the part I don't. Doesn't explain the part I don't remember.
Don't
but
remember,
it does explain a lot of my life. Yeah,
I was
going to
say remembering would be a challenge after.
OMG.
Wow. Dave, now I understand. I'm sorry if I've ever been impatient with you.
That's okay. I probably forgot it. So. Yeah. That's why. Thank goodness I have lots of hair up top there because you know, there it left a mark. It left a mark.
That'll leave a mark.
Just say you had a close encounter of the worst kind with Mr. Ed.
True, true. If I could only remember when that was. Yeah, yeah.
we can only wonder.
I was at my parents' house, and we were emptying out. My son will be taking it. He's been working there. And he found this box and said, what is this? It was a Jarts box. My parents still had their Jarts game. And
all right.
You know, he says, what is this? Well, it's kind of like horseshoes with a plastic ring and these metal pointed giant darts that we threw at each other.
Yep.
Yeah.
Wait a second. You threw them at each other?
Well, you weren't supposed to.
That was the premise of it, but when we kids were playing with it, when the adults weren't looking, that's kind of what happened.
Yeah.
Greatest toy ever.
Greatest toy ever. That's why our generation is tough. We survived ourselves. You know, with metal sleeves and easy bake ovens and creepy crawlers.
Yeah, creepy crawlers. I think I left
like 8,000 degrees.
Yeah, I think I left a few burns on the wood floor there for the creepy crawlers.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, and don't forget the chemistry set. Impress mom and dad when you blow up the basement. Woohoo!
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, with the Mr. Fission kit.
Fission the glow-in-the-dark thing. Yeah, the glow-in-the-dark, I made real radium.
There's only one thing worse than that, and that's when my kids were young, stepping on their daggone Legos.
On their feet. Oh, that is the worst. That's when you know you're like a ninja, ultimate parent. If you can survive the Lego stomp,
I survived the darts. I survived the creepy crawlers. I didn't know I was going to survive Legos, man. I'm telling you.
That's right.
It would be just like how Kwai Chan Kane in Kung Fu. When he has to balance himself going on the rice paper, you can see a parent in the middle of the night going, doing the kung fu movements, balancing ever so carefully, trying not to step on a Lego or a little plastic toy soldier.
That would be a good spoof. I like that idea. You could be a writer. You know that?
Oh, thank you.
Yeah,
thank you very much.
That's good stuff.
Doesn't take much, anymore. So great. That'd be, get that idea out there, but make sure you copyright it before somebody comes along and steals it and turns it into a really bad TV show.
Yes.
Yeah. Hey, who's ever listening? That's copyrighted and trademarked. My law firm is Moose and Elk. Don't mess with Moose and Elk.
That's right. They will soon own the world.
Moose and Elk will conquer the world.
Well, Dale, right. I got a wooden nickel to drop in the box for another wish tune. I wish we could have another wish tune.
Gee, the jukebox is all the way on the other side of the room. Let me get over here.
Well, I didn't tell you to put it on wheels.
Put it.
I didn't tell you to put it on wheels.
Put the damn coin in.
Yeah.
All right, here comes.
Look, there's more.
And now our star, the favorite of radio, recordings, and television, Rosemary Clooney, opening the show with I Wish I Was.
Hi ho, fiddly dee, tell you what I'd like to be. Hi ho, fiddly dee, here is what I dream I'd like to be. I wish I was a swinging, clinging vine. I wish I was a swinging, clinging vine. If I was a swinging, clinging vine, I'd only cling to the boy of mine. I wish I was a swinging, clinging vine. Hi ho, fiddly dee, tell you what I'd like to be. Hi ho, fiddly dee, here is what I dream I'd like to be. Till you were mine, I wish I was a glass of sherry wine. Hi ho, fiddly dee, tell you what I'd like to be. Hi ho, fiddly dee, here is what I dream I'd like to be. I wish I was an apple on a tree. I wish I was an apple on a tree. Boy, come along, take a bite of me. I wish I was an apple on a tree.
Hey, hey, this is a family
show. Hi-ho, fiddly dee, tell you what I'd like to be. Hi-ho, fiddly dee, here is what I dream I'd like to be. Here is what I dream I'd like to be.
Really great.
It's 10 to 4 time, starring Martha Mears, Bob Nolan, and the Sons of the Pioneers.
Don Ford.
And the Tune Twirlers, brought to you transcribed from Hollywood by your nearby bottler of Dr. Pepper.
When you wish upon a star, makes no difference who you are, anything your heart desires will come to you. And if your heart is in your dream, no request is too extreme when you wish upon a star.
Of stardust from our own little star.
Yeah. Twinkle, twinkle, little star. I wonder how you are.
Yeah, me too. Hey, Dale, I checked out, and there will be a classic horrible horror starring Garth Ghoul right after our show tonight.
In about 4 minutes.
All right. And I was just kind of wondering, Dale, what's happening next week on Erie House Radio?
Nothing. We're shutting it down. No, I'm kidding. What do we got here? Kidnapping. We're kidnapping somebody.
Kidnapping. Okay.
Something.
Kidnapping.
Kidnapping. All next weekend, kidnapping.
Yep.
Small children sleeping.
No,
different kind of kidnapping.
Prepare the ransom note. Yep. Prepare the ransom note.
The shows on Friday are Squad Cars, Theater 5, and Stand By for Crime.
I think those are two of those shows I don't think we've shown before.
More new to the channel programming next Friday. And then on Saturday, Richard Diamond and Suspense. You have that to look forward to.
Yeah.
That's the second to last weekend.
I only have one question from that is, who's got all the ransom money?
That's the second to last weekend on my schedule.
Okay, I'll send it along. I got
You've been scheming. Dave's been scheming. New stuff coming up you would not believe.
Ooh.
So, lots of fun coming.
Yep. Even a salute to baldness. You'll never know.
Yes. Yep. A whole weekend of baldness. Yep.
I think I see Superman on the horizon.
Superman's coming for a real super weekend.
Yep.
Well, and I don't know if it's already come and gone, but there is actually a National Poison Day.
What a thing to celebrate.
We have to swap recipes.
Yeah, pick your poison, people. Pick your poison.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit of strychnine or some hemlock.
Lincoln logs were not dangerous, good old Bob, were they? Unless you tried smoking them, maybe. I don't know. Lincoln logs were relatively safe.
We had a bunch of Lincoln logs,
They were safe. Yeah, Lincoln logs were cool. It was a cool
lot safer than that erector set that ended up all over the floor. Yeah.
It was very soft wood. You couldn't, like, bash your friend in the head with them, you know.
Yeah. I mean, they hardly left the mark at all.
Yeah.
What about the kissing cousins of Legos known as Jax?
I don't recall Jax. That might be after my time.
Jax was before our time. That's the Jax and the ball, and that's what we call ball and the Jax.
They sell over the dollar store.
Ball and the Jax.
My mom played
Jax. That goes back to at least the 20s, if not before that, probably.
Yeah.
Way before that, probably.
Jax goes back a ways.
These metal little things are plastic, but there's metal little things that used to be made out of metal. Pointy, and you just toss them on the ground, and you bounce a ball, and you had to swipe up as many as you could before the ball hit the ground.
Yes, that was Jax. They were like a little square, and there were balls on the end of some of the points, but not all.
Yeah. And if you don't worry,
we're done. Good night. We'll see you next week at 6:30. Star of the Ghoul coming up next. Go on over to the Twitches. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Over.
Bye.
It's over.
Bye.
It's over.
It's over.
I'll be in Ciao.
Hasta la bye-bye.
Yep. Hey guys, I got something that just came up about 15 minutes ago. I'm gonna have to book out of here, my friends.
Okay. Alrighty. With that, I'll call him to the stage for you since you have to depart so quickly, Mr. Durante. Dave's gotta go. Hurry to the stage, please.
Good night. Good night. Good night. Good night. Good night.
What for this sake? But good night, good night, little ghost. We've had a few laughs, and it's time for toodaloo.
Toodaloo.
Go up, we the same, and ink-a-tink-a-doo.
Good night.
Good night. Good night, folks. And good night, Mrs. Calabash. Wherever.
Wherever. Oh, thank you, Calabash.
Radio.